Welcome to Open Minds, the weekly sermon podcast from Christ Church Anglican Cathedral in Vancouver, Canada. Reflections provoking thought at the intersection of faith and culture.
So as you can see, I'm not Andrew Stevens Rennie, who was meant to preach tonight. Andrew, it turned out, had to go home. There was a bit of a little family emergency, and he had to go home and deal with that. So in 2 hours, I got to figure out what the heck to say to this gospel. Thank you, Stevens Rennies, for having your family emergency tonight. He's fine. I can joke about it because it's all fine. But still, holy cow, this is a complicated gospel. And so let's see if we can pull it apart a little bit. We can only choose one reading to pay attention to, and so I have decided to try and figure out the most complicated of them. I wanted to think about Luke. So I'm told that the theologian and teacher Walter Brueggemann says that one of the central insights of this gospel is that letting go is to have, and keeping is the way to lose. Letting go is to have, and keeping is the way to lose. So let's hold that before us as we think about this parable in which Jesus tells us a story about a rich man who has a business manager who is reckless with his property. The manager, or the rich man, gets wind that the manager has not been doing a very good job, and brings him to account for his actions and says, you have to be fired. You're not doing a good job. And so panicking, the manager, having no idea what to do, because as he sees it, he isn't fit to do anything else. We heard that he doesn't think he can dig and he doesn't want to beg. And apparently those feel like his only options. So he devises a plan. He calls up the people who owe the rich man, and he essentially cuts their bills in half. How much do you owe my aunt manager? He says to one. 100 jugs of oil, he is told. Go away quickly and make it 50. How much wheat do you owe? He says to another. And he's told that it's 100 containers of wheat. Well, here, he says, take this away quickly and make it 80. So then, when he finds this out, the rich man, who you would think is angry with him, who's already prepared to fire him because he wasn't doing a good job, rewards the manager and says, well done. Way to have such business savvy, he says. Because this is the way of the economy of money, and it is regarded highly by those who participate in it. What the rich man assumes is that the business manager has now, correctly assumed, indebted the people who originally owed the rich man to himself, so that now the manager hopes those folks will owe him. I see what you did there, says the rich man. Well played, my friend. According to one commentary, we miss something really important in this particular line of the gospel because of our Bible's translation of it. The word skinas is translated as eternal homes, but should be translated as tents. And according to the commentator, this is where the story pivots. So you got to stay with me for a minute. The writer suggests that this is an important distinction because we are not actually promised homes. We are promised tents in the stories of Jesus Christ. We are not promised stability, but rather Jesus over and over aligns himself with the refugee and the wanderer and the instability of the life of the poor. This is the economy of Jesus, and it sits in direct opposition to the economy of money. So then this gospel seems to hit the point home in the next line, where it goes on to talk about faithfulness and dishonesty. And finally, we are reminded that we cannot possibly serve two masters. Apparently, it is not possible to serve God and wealth. The manager was not seeking to serve either the rich man nor the people whose debt he was reducing. The manager was seeking to serve himself. He was trying to ensure that he could hold on to what he had by not by working hard or faithfully to do the job that he had been given, but as I read this gospel, he was holding on tightly to what he had and was willing to do whatever he needed in order to keep it. Does that make sense? I see me in him, and I see humanity in him. I see how we hold on to the things that we aspire to or want or think we deserve. And some of us are willing to do whatever we need in order to hold on to it. And what Jesus is telling us is that we have to let that go, that is not the way of the economy of Jesus Christ. For the past weeks, I have been busily working around in this building and listening to the banging of drums and the chanting from across the road. The workers of the Hyatt who are sending a message to their employer about the change that they want to see, or maybe a change they don't want to see. They are putting themselves online in order to do it. And I don't honestly know if I agree or do not agree with their stance, and I'm not sure that it matters what I think. My point is that when you put your body and your income on the line in order to try and make something better, you are risking. And this might be an example of letting go in the way that Brueggemann is talking about. I think maybe you come closer when you put yourself on the line for something that you believe in to the tent that we are promised by Jesus. Or I think about the young woman from Sweden, Greta Thunberg, who is forcing us all to talk in some form about our climate, even if we are only talking about her. And the climate strike, which is officially set to run now, beginning on September 20th through to the 27th, forcing us to pay attention to our own contributions to the current crisis that we are in, and at least consider what our actions might be, what we are willing to do to make it better. I think Greta Thunberg gets close to showing us the tent that we are offered by Jesus Christ. Letting go is to have, and keeping is the way to lose. Letting go of those things which we cling too tightly to, our comfort, our big houses, our ideals that ensure that we don't have to compromise too much so that we gain the possibility of drawing closer to the vision of God, of enough for all, and of no more animals becoming extinct, or fair wages, or reasonable working conditions. Rather than keeping the assumption that we must get to the top, that someone must owe us something, or should owe us something, so that we don't have to let go of too much, or so that we can have a little bit more. Those ways of being that lose for us the connection that God seeks with us. It is easy for me to be swept into a way of being that assumes that I deserve a lot of things, because I live in a culture that assumes that we deserve a lot of things, and we don't necessarily pay attention to who has to give up so that we can have. Often, when I really look at what I'm desiring, I can see that I am clinging to something that I have assumed I deserve, but isn't actually necessary for me to live. except with love or with grace or with dignity or with honesty. I can have those things. I can have love and dignity and grace and honesty, and they can form a tent around me, a tent that can be easily moved and expanded to include and include and include. I can have more of that, and so can you. And I don't have to have any less so that you can have more. When we think about dignity and grace and honesty and love, I can release my expectation that I deserve a bunch of things, or maybe a particular job, or whatever it is that I'm willing to hold on to. If whatever it is that I am clinging to forces my sight to be singular and unable to see the people around me, allowing myself to be ruled by the assumption of the day or the culture of our society that puts one small minority over the needs of the majority or the many. I can release that expectation or those expectations, and I can find myself open to so much more. The promise of a tent rather than a house, which honestly I have to do some work to get my head around, because I really love my house. I do, I love my house. I love having my house. And if we're thinking about that house as kind of representation of all of the other things, maybe what I actually need to be loving is the tent. A house does sound nicer and more stable and more comfortable than a tent. But that is not what Jesus promises us. That is not what any of the Gospels talk to us about. That is not the reality of the Jesus economy. We cannot serve two masters. At some point, we are going to need to choose. If we can look around and see that our world actually needs us to choose, that we have as a species largely been making the wrong choices, we have probably been serving the wrong master, and now we have to figure out where to from here. We have to call into account our own leaders, the masters of this land. We have to search our hearts for what we want. And we have to hope for each other and be willing to let go. This gospel is hard. It is hard to unpack. And it brings me up short, and it forces me to pay attention to my own particular attachments. It forces me to think about which master I choose to serve and why, and what the teachings of Jesus have to say to me about how I am actually called to live. This gospel does not feel particularly hopeful to me. And Greta Thunberg's TED Talk, if you haven't watched it already, is fantastic and is also not particularly hopeful. So I'm not going to land in a really hopeful place for you in this tonight, because I think we actually do have some really hard thinking to do. We as a community need to consider who we are and whose we are. I talk about this all of the time because I think it's really important. Because the truth is this: if we want to participate in bringing about the kingdom of God here on earth, then this is incredibly important for us to know. We as God's people who are invited to live by Jesus Christ into a way of being that chooses a master who is about love and honesty and grace and dignity, a way to guide ourselves and our choices, a way of participating in the world as though it and each other matter to us, as though we belong to it and to one another, because we do. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Open Minds podcast. For more information on the Cathedral, its ministries, and how you can get involved, go to www.thecathedral.ca.